Hello, this is Jason Green. You're listening to Brooklyn College Radio on BCR 1090 AM, streaming live on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, home of the women's and men's Brooklyn College Bridges.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org and, of course, podcasting at geekspeak.com. Well, that is, of course, at speakgeekspeak.com. Keep going at the wrong website. This is episode 14 of the Geek Speak podcast, and we are live from Brooklyn College, even if the rest of the world is stuck at home, here in Brooklyn at least. Yeah, the transit strike has pretty much crippled all of New York, but considering that I am indeed walking distance from the college, I'm still able to put out these shows, which is always a plus. And I love living where I do, especially with situations like this arise. So I will indeed be on for the full hour here and a day early. But considering the fact that, like I said, nobody's here, I can pretty much do this show live like I want to. And I put a message out to my blogger on speakgeekspeak.com that the episode is indeed live today. So I hope to get some phone calls in here if anybody does indeed want to call. The number to call is 718-951-4444. That's 718-951-4444. And you can get in touch with me during the show at speakgeekspeak@gmail.com if you want to do through the email route. And a lot of great stuff happening for you on today's show. This is going to be a regular episode, and then as soon as this episode is done, about an hour or two after this episode is done, that is, I'll be recording episode 15. I'm getting them both done this week to make sure that you guys both have a nice Geek Speak for this upcoming week and the week after that. And the week after that, of course, will be the Showcase Spotlight, which will be, of course, with video games and all that. And I hope that everybody enjoys that as much as they possibly can. But anyway, let's get into the main news that's going on in today's show. I'm going to be giving you guys a product review, as this is actually my first recording that I'm doing with my brand new headphones, the AKG K240S Circumoral Stereo Headphones. And I got to tell you, I am absolutely loving these, and I will certainly have a product update on today's show to let you guys know exactly why you should get these headphones if you're podcasting, because I have never heard my voice better than I'm hearing them right now as I speak to you guys. Also, some Firefly news that's not exactly too good for people who are fans of the show. According to Joss Whedon, Firefly's done. But I'll have my take on that, because I'm not entirely sure if I believe him right now, even if he is the guy who made the show. Because never say never in Hollywood. I've certainly learned that. Also, if you like the NES, well, there's a new version of the NES out there now. It's called the Generation Next. Generation NEX. Is this worth buying, or is this just another thing to put on that heap and pretend that you never heard of it? Well, I certainly have my take on that, as does IGN, and I will get into that here as well. And best of all, the Xbox 360 craze has been absolutely destroying America right now. Every youngin is looking to get their hands on an Xbox 360. Everybody is looking to get their hands on an Xbox 360 right now. In Japan, on the other hand, a different story. And I am going to have a lot of fun talking about that, because like I said, I haven't exactly been too much of a fan of the Xbox 360 so far. Wasn't really too much of a fan of the Xbox in the first place, and it's going to be fun ripping that apart. But to start things off here, I am going to talk about these brand new headphones that I just purchased. I got it off eBay, because I actually looked at my listing first. I'm not going to get into that rant again. And very, very good sellers, and you'll be able to find these guys easily on eBay. If you do a search for the AKG K240S headphones, they'll be one of the first two or three people to pop up. There are registered dealers of AKG headphones on eBay, which are pretty easy to find. If you know what you're looking for, you're probably going to be able to find them. And these guys, not only did they sell me the headphones, but for no extra charge, shipping, which is always a plus. Free shipping is something that I'll always, always look for in anything that I buy. And also, it came with a couple of drum loop CDs, which is pretty useful for those people who use, like, GarageBand. And I've just been getting my hand on Audacity lately. And I'd love to be able to actually test that out and see just what you can do with a program like Audacity. And I'd love to be able to look into that as time goes on. So I've got about 4 discs worth of drum beats that came with these headphones. And the headphones, like I said, are the AKG K240S Circumoral. Wow, that's a really hard word to pronounce. Circumoral stereo headphones. Here's a product description, courtesy of samedaymusic.com. AKG's most popular professional headphone, a classic design that has become a standard in monitoring. Now with Varimotion XXL capsule for studio sound at home and for portable use, the integrated semi-open air design incorporates a highly accurate dynamic transducer and an acoustically tuned venting structure behind the element produces a naturally opened sound quality. The Circumoral pads are designed for hours of wearing comfort, while the steel cable, self-adjusting headband construction, and single-sided professional quality audio interconnect ensure extended reliability in demanding professional studio applications. Proven, popular, excellent, new, improved, and even better. Now, see, that's a nice sale pitch for you. And you can't always buy into the sale pitches, you know? I mean, a lot of things are said to be, you know, new and improved and better than ever, and then you actually try them out, and, well, they're pieces of crap. But these, however, I can safely say that these are pretty much as advertised. I mean, these are used all across the country. I did a lot of research into these headphones before I actually bought them because I was looking for a decent pair. The pair that I had before, this is back when I first started working in radio here at Brooklyn College. We were recommended to have headphones by the professor of the course that I was taking at the time. And I didn't feel like spending a lot of money. So I went out there and bought the first pair of Radio Shack headphones I could find, and they lasted me a good year and a half before the wire snapped. Yeah, that's not exactly too happy there. And the sound quality was decent. I mean, it was good enough, but it always had a bit of a hollow feel to it. You know, you could always tell that, like, there were certain levels that you were just not getting with these headphones. And I wanted to go out there and see just what I could do with the help of these brand new headphones. So I looked into a couple different pairs. I looked into the Sennheiser, which they have over here at Brooklyn College. And while Sennheiser looked good, and there were a couple that were pretty cheap, I wanted headphones that would last. That was the first thing that I was looking for. I wanted headphones that I knew that would last me a long time, and headphones that would actually sound really, really good while I'm doing my recording. And Sennheiser looked good, just not good enough. Also, the pairs that they have here at the college, I haven't really been too impressed with. I've seen people online, however, at a couple of message boards that I regularly frequent that have told me Sennheiser is good. So I guess it's up to personal preference. I myself haven't really enjoyed the Sennheiser too much, so I went in a different direction. AKG, I've heard of in the past. I know that they're a reliable company. I know that they put out a very, very good product, and I wanted to try these for myself. So I went onto eBay, found them for $99, which is the going price, free shipping, always a plus, and I got the headphones. And the headphones came in about 4 days, which is very, very good for this time of year, because I ordered these in the heat of the season. Oh, yeah. Everybody always tells you, whatever you do, never order during Christmas season. But, you know, it turned out pretty good. I got it within 3 or 4 days of ordering, and now I have these headphones, and I got to tell you, I'm loving them. I'm absolutely loving them. The one thing that always pissed me off about headphones is having to adjust them, and the self-adjust on these headphones, it's natural, you don't even notice it happening, and it almost, like, meshes to your head, seriously. It's like, I have these on right now, and I barely even know that they're on, even though, I, like, you can tell that these are heavy headphones. It's just, they feel so freaking comfortable on your head, you know? It's something that you would definitely want when you're doing recording on a regular basis, which is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be using this at home, I'm going to be using this at the studio here, I'm going to be using this whenever I can use them, and I want these to last. And another addition here is over at the radio studio and with a lot of recording equipment, you're going to need a 1/4-inch adapter to do your recording because obviously the typical 1/8 is not going to fit into a typical mixing board. 1/8 are the type that you would see on typical, you know, portable CD players And it's usually the norm for the smaller types of headphone uses that you would need. But for things such as recording, you're usually going to find a quarter inch. That's basically the way things go. And I'm absolutely impressed. The best thing about these, pretty much every quarter inch adapter that I've seen is just a simple click on. And every time I pull it out, it always, always, always ends up staying inside the freaking hole, which is really, really bad. I'm saying freaking a lot today. And I hate having to go in there and fish it out with my fingers, you know? I just want to be able to take it out and move on, and that's the end of that. You know, life is easy that way. With these, however, it came with a typical quarter-inch adapter, only it's a screw-on quarter-inch adapter. That is perfect for me right there. Screw-on quarter-inch adapter means, obviously, it's going to screw on, it's not going to come off when you pull it out, and it's going to make everything so much smoother. There's only one wire with this thing, one wire for the entire headphones, so you're not having the typical, like, wishbone effect that you have with the, you know, the two wires hanging off. Just one wire on the left ear, that's it. Does the entire thing. It's a nice thick cable, which is always a plus. And like I said, they're very, very light. You would think that they'd be much heavier than they actually are. The net weight is 240 grams, which is 8.5 ounces. That's without the cable, because the cable really doesn't factor into it. It's a long cable, so you'll be able to use it for, like, for instance, if you're the sidekick on a show, you'll be able to just use these headphones and not have to worry about any sort of adapters or anything like that. And like I said, I have never sounded fuller. In all of my recording that I've done here at Brooklyn College, at home, period, I've never sounded fuller. When I'm just, you know, tooling around at home using iTunes, it's perfect. And I'm absolutely loving these. I am going to give these headphones a rousing 5 out of 5. For the price, you're not going to be able to get better. $99 headphones that feel like $200 headphones, from what I've seen. And AKG K240s come in two forms. I believe they come in the K and they come in the S. And like I said, I have the S. They're more for studio. I'm liking these. I've heard great things about the K as well. I think just a K240 in general are AKG's best pair. The one thing about them that's a bit of a interesting design, and I'm not quite sure whether this is going to be beneficial or not, is on the top of the headphones, there are these wires that are sitting there. Obviously, this is done for the self-adjust, because you can tell that that's probably part of the whole self-adjust thing, because it's definitely not part of... Actually, you know what? It could be the thing that connects the one side of the headphone to the other, but it's on top of the unit, and I don't know how sturdy that's going to be. Hopefully, it is as sturdy as it seems, and I won't have anything to worry about, but it's something to be careful of when you get these headphones. So I'll let you guys know if anything happens in the future, but right now, these headphones have been suiting me absolutely perfect, and I'm glad I got them. Technology is your friend, especially when you're looking for headphones. Don't get the cheap ones. The cheap ones will last you a year if you're lucky. The usual stereo headphones that I get for my CD players, if I'm lucky, they last me a year. These babies, these are the type I want to last for life. My dad has a pair of headphones at home. He has had since he was my age, and they still work. They're a bit bulky, sure, because back then headphones were all bulky, but they work. I want these to be this pair, and right now, I am highly impressed. And for anybody out there who's podcasting, anybody out there who's recording, definitely look into the AKG K240S. I give it a rousing, rousing recommendation. I always forget to mention one of the things I want to talk about on the show whenever I start the show off. And this is actually one of the main things I want to talk about in today's show. And that, of course, is Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That just came out a little while ago here in the States. Because I have to say that because I just found out a little while ago, actually one of my first messages on the forums came from a listener from Iceland. Yeah, oh yeah, GeekSpeak is international now. Oh yeah, woo! Chronicles of Narnia is, I'm sure, a book series that everybody's familiar with, and it's pretty much as popular as Lord of the Rings. They're contemporaries. They were writing books at pretty much the same time in their careers, and it's good. It's good. That's what I have to say. The movie definitely surprised me. I was not expecting this sort of thing when I came into this movie. I was expecting typical cheesy Disney. That's the best way to put it. Disney, not exactly known for its, tact? There you go. Yeah. They like putting in the family moments and the morals and the values and all that, even into movies with battling and all that. But while there were a couple cheesy moments in Narnia, they played them down. It was definitely played down a little bit. Those people who are familiar with Narnia know that it's actually a pretty grim book. There's betrayal in it. There's death. There's resurrection. And there's a whole lot of battling going on. This is not your typical children's movie. And in fact, I wouldn't even recommend bringing your kids to this movie. If they're young. I'd say maybe once they're about 11 or 12, you shouldn't have to worry about that. But before then, they might get a bit squeamish at times. The CGI is amazing. Some of the best CGI I've seen in movies, period. On par with Lord of the Rings, honestly. The wolves in this movie moved like wolves. They didn't seem like CGI wolves. This was not Resident Evil here. Okay? This was actually fluid and it felt real. You know, this is the way real wolves would move. Obviously, you cannot get real wolves to play the parts in this because, well, real wolves can't talk. That's definitely the case. So, what do you got to do? As for the movie in general, even that, the plot was very, very realistic. And that's funny to say with a fantasy movie, but the plot seemed very fast-paced and moved. Even though it was a long movie, it never really faltered. Even the quiet moments felt like they belonged there. The kids were very, very good actors. These weren't your typical cute kids. I mean, sure, they were cute, but they knew what they were doing, which is something you don't always find in kids' movies. But again, like I said, this is not your typical kids' movie. Liam Neeson is in the movie voicing Aslan, who is the king of the jungle. He's a lion, and, well, he's the king of the jungle, like a lion should be. If there's one person I'm going to have play the king of the jungle, it's going to be Liam Neeson. Anything he signs on to automatically goes up a level. I mean, he was amazing as Ra's al Ghul, and it's Ra's, not Ra's. I grew up on Ra's al Ghul in Batman the Animated Series. It's Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul. That's just the way it is. But anyway, before I go completely off on a tangent, which happens every single show, Narnia is certainly worth it. The battle sequences, even though they're almost completely CGI, are well worth it. Like I said, the animals move fluidly. You barely even notice that these are not real animals, which is hard to find, to say the least, in Hollywood. How many movies have you gone to see where you knew you were watching CGI? A lot. Not always the case here. There were a couple moments that didn't exactly feel real. The beavers could have had a little bit more work. But the main animals that moved a lot all felt like they should feel. I highly recommend Narnia. Those of you who are fans of the fantasy genre, in general, you're going to love this. It's out there. And it's a nice companion to Lord of the Rings, you know? Even though, obviously, they have nothing to do with each other. Lord of the Rings was great, okay? Nothing's ever going to beat Lord of the Rings. Best trilogy ever. Screw you, Star Wars. Best trilogy ever, Lord of the Rings. I'm sure I pissed off a couple fans there. by saying that, but it's the truth, you know? I mean, Star Wars definitely has its merits. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but Lord of the Rings is the best trilogy out there. Chronicles of Narnia, first movie, very, very good. Very good. Not on par with Lord of the Rings, but almost there. And when you're almost there for an amazing movie like Lord of the Rings, you're definitely doing something right. Definitely doing something right. So I'm going to give Narnia a 4 out of 5. It deserves that. It certainly deserves that. I hope everybody goes out there and pays the money for it. And if any of you see Cheaper by the Dozen 2, I know where you live. So those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis know that I'm a huge Firefly fan. I've said that over and over again. Firefly is my show. It's all the fault of a buddy of mine named Trish, who introduced me to Firefly when I had never really heard it before. I'd heard about it, but I had never really experienced Firefly for what it is before, until she sat me down and she showed me the entire series. And I was completely blown away. Completely blown away by that. And now, the movie is coming out on DVD. The Firefly movie was amazing. Serenity was fantastic. Everything that was great about the series, you found in this movie. And it was certainly worth the $8 or $9 that I spent on the ticket. And it was definitely worth going to see. It's going to be worth owning on DVD as well. I got to pick that up sometime in the near future because, oh my God, is that amazing. But in a recent article out of Entertainment Weekly, Joss Whedon said in an interview that Firefly's done. He says he's tired. He'd like to move on. He says he's done what he could be done with the franchise and he'd like to move on. And for fans out there of Firefly, this is not exactly good news. Obviously. Because if you're a fan of Firefly, you know how great it is, and you know that you'd love to have it continue. However, it's not in the cards right now. Now, how do I feel about this? Well, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. It's a strange thing to say about a creator saying that he's not going to go back to a series, but I'll believe it when I see it. Joss Whedon, very fickle man. You know, I mean, he moves on, and then he comes back. And then he moves on, and then he comes back. And then he moves on, and then he comes back. That's the way he is. He takes his time with things. All I have to do is mention Frey, and you'll definitely know what I'm talking about there. Dear God, how long did that take to come out? I loved it, by the way. I absolutely loved the series, but there was like, a 2-year break in between that? It's like Kevin Smith quality there. Don't even get me started on Kevin Smith either. But Joss Whedon is a man who lives in the moment, okay? That's what he does. If he has a chance, he'll move on to something new and leave the past behind. Then, 2 years later, he'll come back and say, oh, you know what? I just got a wonderful idea. And I'd love to put that into writing. And then he starts writing. And then before you know it, you know, I've really been considering going back to blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah sounds pretty good now. You know what? I'm going to see if I can get the cast back together. You know what? I think I'm going to try something here. Case in point, the Buffy comic books that are going to be coming out now. Buffy was done, basically. That's what Joss said as well. He said Buffy was completely done. even if it wasn't wrapped up exactly the way he wanted it, he pretty much made it clear to everybody that it was pretty much done. Now there's a chance of a Spike movie coming out at one point, and the Buffy comics are in the works, the Angel comics are in the works. There's a whole bunch going on in the Buffyverse, which is why us Browncoats, as we like to call ourselves in the Firefly community, are not exactly down in the dumps yet. Joss Whedon might say now that he's done with Firefly. And I can understand that. He's got a Wonder Woman movie coming. He's back with the Buffy. I can understand why he's moving on. But I really do not think that this is end for end here. I think there's a major chance that we might get Firefly in 2 or 3 years or something like that. The possibility is definitely out there. For now, yeah, I'm a bit somber about it. I'm a bit upset about Firefly. Because I was really looking forward to that proposed, well, at least hinted about, TV movie that was going to be airing on Sci-Fi. But obviously that was never confirmed. That was just out of IGN. And IGN is wrong from time to time about what they have to say. They were wrong on a couple of casting rumors as well with the Spider-Man movie. And I believe they were also wrong on some of the... Yeah, in fact, they were one of the ones who confirmed that Maggie Grace was going to be playing Kitty Pryde in X3 when we all know now that's definitely not the case. IGN's not always right. IGN reported that it's almost 100% that there would be a straight-to-sci-fi Firefly movie happening. Now Joss says he doesn't want to do anything else. Doesn't mean that this won't happen someday, honestly. But for now, all right, fine, we'll go into hibernation for a while. Star Trek often doesn't have much going on with it either. And in my opinion, Firefly could very well be the next Star Trek. It could be the next Space Odyssey type thing going on. You know, Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, Star Wars, that sort of stuff. With such a large fan gathering that it will lead to other things. The fans weren't enough to get a second season. I mostly blame Fox for that. In fact, I almost 100% blame Fox for that. Things are not completely done yet. Never say never in the world of Hollywood. I mean, come on. They're working on a freaking Rush Hour 3 now. You know, I mean, they'll milk anything if they can. Joss Whedon, like I said, fickle, let him move on. Whatever he does, I'll stick by him. He's a man of honor, he's a man of duty, to steal Dr. Tran. And I like him. I love his Astonishing X-Men. And I'm probably getting into Buffy now. Friends have really been trying to get me into Buffy. And it could very well happen as time goes on here. I could very well end up into it as time goes on here. We'll just have to wait and see. But of course, when greener pastures present themselves, I'll follow it. I'm not really too upset about Firefly right now because it looks like Futurama's coming back in one form or another, whether it's straight to DVD or whether it's actually back on Fox. Futurama might very well end up coming back in one form or another. And I'm going to focus on that right now. I'm not going to get upset over Firefly right now. There's plenty of other great shows on TV. If I got to move on, I'll have to. For now, we'll see what's happening in 2 or 3 years. Gaming time, yeah, hey. Yeah, it is indeed gaming time here on Geek Speak. And you know I love the retro, as I'll display on episode 15 of Geek Speak, which, as I said, will be recorded in a couple of hours with Toby Cook and Rob from CoinOp.tv. But a brand new NES clone has been released. The NES patent is not nearly what it was once upon a time. And people can go ahead and make their presence known if they want to with the NES. Now, in a while, there's going to be a little thing called the Nintendo Revolution coming out. You remember that? Yeah, I think you do. And that's going to have a whole bunch of NES ROMs on it, if you want them. Whole bunch of great stuff. But the NES will always be remembered as retro gold in the eyes of gamers. And now here we are with a brand new system, brand new old system, called the Generation Nex. That's Generation NEX. Now, this is the second major Nintendo clone to come out. There was one that came out not too long ago that was supposed to be pretty good, but it turned out to be a stinker. The NEX looks to be pretty good, at least so far. It's got a nice package, and it comes with, well, actually, I believe extra are wireless controllers. But the controllers they come with, to avoid any lawsuits probably, are pretty much a combination of the SNES and the Genesis controllers. They look more like a Genesis controller from what I see here. But you got the two buttons, you got the AB button over on the right side of the controller, where it always is. You've got a circular D-pad, like the Genesis had. You've got start and select on top of the A and B button. You've got shoulder buttons as well, do the exact same thing as the AB buttons do. And you've also got a nice little connection of things that do speed up and fast forward, I believe, or something like that. You know, like extra fast or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. That are usually where the start and select buttons are. The wireless controller is coming when it looks like a lunchbox, which amuses me to no end. But there's also the wired controllers. And I don't really think you're going to need two wireless controllers in a lunchbox too much. The system itself looks sleek. Very sleek. It's a streamlined NES. Obviously, with better connections, you'll be able to connect this to your TV like any other system. Won't have to worry about any of those crazy connector things that you used to have on the NES. And also, not only does it play NES games, but it also plays Famicom games, which is always a plus. So you get to play your Japanese games and your American games thanks to this lovely, lovely product. The thing is about this system is that, like I said, I'm not quite sure how many people are going to go for it for a price tag of $59.99 when they know quite well that the Nintendo Revolution is not too far away. The Nintendo Revolution, well, it's supposed to be a revolution, according to the marketing scheme, at least. And Nintendo really wants you to buy their product. And they're going to have all these Nintendo games on it as well. But for those people who do have their old Nintendo carts lying around and don't want to pay for a service, they're not quite sure yet whether it's going to be a pay service or not. That'll be up in the air until the revolution actually comes out. But those people who do have their carts lying around and have a busted NES, which is probably most of you, because the NES didn't really hold up too well. Mine, I haven't played in a long time. I don't know whether it still works. It did when I put it away, but it's been a while. It's been a long time. So I would not be surprised if it actually does not work nearly as well as it used to now. I might be interested in the Generation Next one of these days. I have plenty of Nintendo games. God, man, you know, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to play Tecmo Super Bowl again? Oh, God, Tecmo Super Bowl was the game back in the day for football fans. I'd love to be able to pop open my NES, play some Tecmo Super Bowl, because I have fond memories of that. Back in the day, whenever my relatives were over or anything like that, we'd sit around, we'd play some NES, we'd make a tournament out of Tecmo Super Bowl, and we'd have a great time. It was fun. It still is fun. I picked it up in ROM form a little while ago, and I've been playing that every now and then. It's still fun. A lot of NES games are still fun. Mario 3. Can't get tired of Mario 3. Mario 3 is great. It's fantastic. It's a classic, and that's what these are. Those of you who want to play your Xbox 360s and all that can do so. Not going to badmouth you or anything. Because, come on, there's plenty of great stuff to play on an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 2 or a PSP or stuff like that. But those of you who are fans of the old school experience, there's still stuff out there for you. Like the Generation Next. You're not going to have to pay hundreds of dollars for it either. It's still fun. Come on, like I said, a couple episodes back, it'd probably still be fun to play some Pong if you got a couple of friends around and a couple of beers. This is the sort of stuff that never dies, especially considering that you can get cheap cartridges for like $3 or $4 now, sometimes even less than that on eBay. Generation Next might be worth it. Like I said, it might even be something that I consider to get one of these days, just for the aesthetic value of having a working Nintendo again, even if it's not quite the original. And I gotta ask, do any of my listeners have the second generation Nintendo out? The one that looked like a SNES and that top-loaded like an SNES did? And I'm sure a couple of people probably bought thinking it was an SNES and then got it home and realized it was an NES. That was probably one of the best marketing schemes for a while there. As soon as the SNES comes out, make your NES look like an SNES, you know? Fool some people. Just like selling boxes on eBay, but I'm not going to get back into that. Ian, don't do that. Oh my God. Still, $59, like I said, it's a lot less than $300. I don't know how much a Nintendo Revolution is going to be. Rumors are that it's only going to be $100 or some odd bucks. If that's the case, I might just get one of those. But Generation X might be worth it. For a Christmas present, if you have a little bit of money lying around, go old school. It won't hurt. Trust me. It doesn't bite. Alright, so we all know the whole hype by now. We all know all about the Xbox 360 and how great it is and how awesome it is and how Microsoft is going to make millions off of it and how it's fantastic and how people want to name their babies Xbox 360. Well, that's here in America. You know that place we live in, America, right? Yeah. And like I said, I'm a multinational show now. So I'd like to see other people's takes on the Xbox 360, if I can get them. But here in America, everywhere they sold the Xbox 360, people were lined up for miles. There's a picture here on ig33k.typepad.com that shows just that. And I'm going to link to this in the show notes. An amazing lineup when the Xbox 360 was introduced here in America. And those of you who know, the Xbox 360 came in two forms here in America. The Slim Package and the Uber Package. The Slim Package comes with the Xbox 360 and two wired controllers. My mistake, one wired controller, not even two. Which is eh, to say the least. The Big Package came with the Xbox 360, the hard drive, and two wireless controllers. For that wireless experience. Which is interesting. It's interesting how that worked. Over in Japan, all they were selling was the bigger version of the bundle. And over in Japan, they also gave them a bit of a discount on how much that bundle was worth here in America. Because they're nice people like that, I guess. But here's the big difference. Here in America, people were lined up for miles. In Japan, yeah, not so much. Let's say about 3 or 4 people waiting outside. Here's a story from Weekly Tech Blog. I think this is funny. The Tokyo, Japan pick from the article Need to Find an Xbox 360, Buy a Ticket to Tokyo, December 19, 2005 by Martin Fackler. Thanks to Haruyoshi Yamaguchi / Bloomberg News for the photo. The U.S. one is from Major Nelson's Flickr webpage. And some of the comments here. That's sad. Why is it that people who don't want to just take a picture at face value always have to claim it's been photoshopped? There are honest people in the world. People that actually don't believe that that picture is legitimate. That's amazing. On the release day, I was at one store where there were like 100 people standing in line, and I went to another store and there was no line at all. I'm pretty sure the lines vary from place to place. This pic is probably from a small city in the countryside. Certainly possible. Definitely possible. But the fact of the matter is, Japan cares so much less about the Xbox 360 than us Americans do. Is it national pride? Is that it? It probably is. They care about their Japanese systems a lot more. A lot of people are just waiting out for that PlayStation 3, knowing that the PlayStation 3 is made by the Japanese. And that's a difference. It is. The Japanese really, really like their Japanese products. Japanese. That was a very interesting statement to make, but it's pretty much the truth. Japanese like the Japanese products. Japanese, Japanese, Japanese. Here in America, we like getting those Japanese products and putting an American label on them. I'm sorry, I speak truth here. Come on. You guys know that this is true. All right? We'll take anything that we can get that's Japanese because we know it's better. The cars, the computers, the VCRs, the DVDs, and especially the game systems. Sony, PlayStation, end of story. Dreamcast, Sega. For a while, that was really popular, too. Nintendo. It's Japanese, folks. There's only one American out there, and that is the Xbox. That is the Microsoft Xbox 360. It's the only one. For a reason. Because it's really hard to get an international buzz about a product when you're not one of those nations everybody turns to for electronics. Japan has had HD TVs a lot longer than we have. They've had streamlined cars a lot longer than we have. They've had DVD players a lot longer than we have. And their computers are top of the line. We have Dell and Microsoft and all that crazy, funny stuff. It's not too bad, but it just doesn't add up in the end. It's the case. It really is. Another story, a fuller story, on the Xbox 360. From the same source, I'll link to both of them in the show notes. When Microsoft launched the Xbox 360 in Japan, it didn't do too well. They didn't even sell half the games available in stores and only sold 62,135 units of the estimated 159,000 shipped. That's only 39%. 39% of Xbox 360s. Here, they're sold out for months. You're not going to be able to get them until February. The first Xbox sold about 123,000 units the first 3 days of launch back in 2002. This is because Sony has about 80% of Japan's market locked in versus the 5% that Microsoft has. Microsoft says they're going to be growing their market in Japan in the coming months with the launch of more titles. A lot of game retail stores in Japan are reporting that a lot of gamers are canceling their pre-orders because of the postponed launch date of Dead or Alive 4. Why waste $50 on a pre-order when there are 96,865 Xbox 360s left over from the failed launch? As we all know, the Japanese are all about quality. Reporters say that they are really turned off by the tendency of crashes the 360 has, which about 95% of 360 gamers have already experienced. They also say that the case design of the box isn't that great looking. Everything in Japan is like a million times cooler, so it's not that big of a surprise that they are turned off by the Xbox 360 design. Do you see why I haven't been that big on the Xbox 360 so far, guys? Honestly, there's other choices out there. Even if they haven't presented themselves yet, there's other choices out there. Wait until they do present themselves. Let it known. Let it be known by everybody that the PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Revolution are only a couple months away. Do not fall for the Dreamcast paradox here. If it came first, it must be better. No. If it came first, that means it was rushed. And we all know this already by all of those failed Xbox 360s already, all of those blue screens of death that have been happening, and the fact that they're already working on new processors for the Xbox 360 that will be better. This was rushed, folks. It's as simple as that. Japan knows it. Here in America, we're a little slower on the uptake. I'm hoping that as time goes on, people will realize that just because it's new does not mean it's good. Might be plenty of pretty games on the Xbox 360, but wait a while. Trust me. It'll be worth it in the end. It is wind-up time here on GeekSpeak, where I switch it over from the geek side of things, the tech side of things, the comic side of things, the anime side of things, the thing side of things, and switch it over to the sports side of things. And boy, oh boy, do I have something to talk about today. Oh yeah. So those of you who listened to last week's show know that I wasn't exactly too happy about the idea of getting Johnny Damon on the New York Yankees. Well, hate to say it, folks, but on Tuesday, Johnny Damon got signed for 4 years. Under the nose of the Boston Red Sox, mind you. The Boston Red Sox had not noted this was going down. The Boston Red Sox thought that they had him locked up. The Boston Red Sox thought he was safe. Then they get the surprise of their lives. Then they discover that Johnny Damon was having talks with the New York Yankees. Then they realize they no longer have a center fielder and that the Yankees have struck again. A lot of Yankee fans, I'm sure, are probably thinking to themselves right now, he's a former Red Sox. That means we won. We took him away from them. That means we won. He hit that grand slam against us. That means we won. But wait, folks. Let's think about things reasonably here for a second. Let's think about the scheme of things. Let's think about what he will be able to do for the club. Do you honestly think that for the next 4 years, Johnny Damon is going to be successful here? There are some people who might say yes. I'm not quite sure about that. I'm glad that we didn't fall for Scott Boras' offer of 7 years, because that would have been outlandish. Everybody knows that he only has about 3 or 4 more years left in him. I mean, come on. 7 years for a guy his age would be stupid. Just plain stupid. I'm glad the Yankees realized that. I'm glad we only got him for 4. But also think about this. If he gets injured, we have him stuck on the club for 4 years. He's shaving his beard. He's shaving his hair to be on the Yankees. Well, good for him. Guy needed a shave and a haircut for the past 4 years. Now he's going to have to keep it nice and trim for the next 4. But the fact of the matter is that Johnny Damon is not quite the person that we need in this club. He's probably one of the best people out there, but I really don't think he's going to mesh well with the Yankees. I just seriously don't. I'm not sure whether this is just my bias against Red Sox fans or what, my bias against Red Sox players or what, but I just really don't think it's going to work. He's going to be a leadoff man, which means Derek Jeter falls down to second in the order, A-Rod third, Sheffield fourth, probably After that, we'll probably go Giambi 5th, Matsui 6th. The list goes on and on from there. It's going to be a great lineup now, I got to give you that. But it's not going to be hitting that's going to win you a title. It's going to be pitching. I'm going to be focusing much more on the pitching this year. Johnny Damon, good for you. You got a good deal. I'm just not quite sold on it yet. I hope that as time goes on, I'm proven wrong. I seriously do. For the Yankees' sake, I hope I am wrong here. Because I'd like to see us make it to the promised land again. I'd like to see us make it to the World Series. And also, this feels dirty to me for some reason. This feels like more like buying a player than any other time out of any of the other players that the Yankees have obviously just bought, because that's happened a lot. I mean, come on. I'm glad we didn't get Nomar. At least that was one of the two things that I was complaining about last week. I'm glad we didn't get Nomar. I'm glad he signed somewhere else, because we do not need Nomar Garciaparra on this team. And going to make Jason Giambi feel terrible. But we did get Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon, you better do what you say you're going to do. Because if you don't, you're going to have one pissed Yankee fan on your hands, and his name is Ian Levenstein. And I bite, so watch out. All right, maybe not. Still, that was the windup, and now here's the pitch. Every single Monday from 3 to 4, beginning in January, on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, you can hear me, Ian Levenstein, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, and David, and the phantom of Michael Hornstein, listening, I hope you will be, to The Sporting Goods. The email address here at GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's SPEAKGEEKSPEAK @gmail.com. The forums are over at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. That's FORUMS, not forum, forums. And I hope you guys enjoy the Showcase Spotlight next week. Well, it'll be airing next week. I'll be recording it tonight. But I'm sure that Toby Cook and Rob from CoinOp TV are as ready as I am, and we're going to put out a great show for you. It'll probably run about an hour and a half, possibly even 2 hours if we get on the retro gaming side of things long enough. But I really, really hope that you guys enjoy it as much as I do. And thank you so much for subscribing. I can never say that enough. I got about 80 of you guys coming back regularly, and that's a start, definitely. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for listening to this particular episode of Geek Speak. Episode 14 is over and done. So until next week, a very merry holidays to you guys. And of course, have a great week and enjoy your ho, ho, ho geek. Happy Christmas, Kwanzaa, everybody. I'll see you next week. We'll be right back. It's time to Speak Geek with the Geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.